If you have a Bible, turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I think it's page 810 in the Brown Pew Bible, if that's easier. Acts chapter 1. When I was a sophomore in college, I got a phone call from the campus minister at Lipscomb, and he said, "Hey, we're thinking about going on this mission trip, and I would like to invite you to the meeting." And I said, "Cool, that's great." And so I showed up, and there were 12 dudes in a room. And I said, "Well, this is going to be an interesting mission trip." And he said, "Here's the premise. The idea is for us to go spring break to Panama City Beach in the middle of the potentially craziest party you've ever seen, and just to be present. We're not going to stand and picket on corners. We're not going to beat people with a cross. We're not going to stand up on the balconies and teach and preach. We're just going to be present. We're going to be living differently." And so that was the idea of the mission trip. So we trained for the next 6 months to go to spring break and basically just be present and to be Jesus to people that maybe needed a little bit of Jesus in Panama City Beach on spring break. We did really weird things to train with. We read a couple of books about being missional and about what that really looks like to live the mission. But I remember those first three or four times we met, I was scared to death. They put us in partners. I didn't know my partner. And I thought, that's weird. That's odd. Why would you put me with somebody I don't know? But he and I, our friendship grew, and then the closer I got to being able to go, I got less nervous. I was like, okay, well, we've been to some places maybe like spring break will be. I'm okay with it. And I remember driving to Panama City going, I'm good. I got this. No big deal. And then we got about 3 miles away, and the cars were lined up for 3 miles all the way into Panama City. And I remember going, this is odd. Wonder what's going on. So since we were stopped dead, we got out of the car. And I remember in that moment of getting out of the car thinking, y'all ready to go home? Back to Nashville? Nashville's good. We can go back to Nashville. There's plenty we can do in Nashville. That moment, when we got there and it was just the 12 of us standing in Panama City Beach, scared to death because we didn't really know what was going to happen the next 7 days. We find a similar moment in Acts chapter 1. If you remember Acts, Acts is kind of a two-part. It's the second part of Luke. Luke wrote Luke and Acts. This is the second part. This is Acts. And so look at verse 1 just to get a little bit of context. In the first book, that is Luke, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. So Jesus chose a group of close-knit people, and all of a sudden, Jesus is about to leave. This is great. Look at verse 3. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Now, Luke's going to give us a little bit of context what happened in maybe that last encounter. So look at verse 4. While he was staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait, specifically to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, verse 5, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So what he's telling them is, listen, you're about to get something and you're not even going to fathom. And so what I need for you to do is just to wait. And I imagine it was just as hard for them to wait as it is for us now. I need you to be patient. I need you to wait in Jerusalem because I'm about to send the Holy Spirit to you. And he tells them what's going to happen then. Look at verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, they're asking Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Still not getting it. And so look what he tells them in verse 7. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. And verse 8 is what we're going to look at tonight. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And now look where he says they're going to be his witnesses. Four places. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the where? The earth. If you know the geographic region, this is actually a movement from the inside out, maybe is a good phrase. So you have Jerusalem where they are, Judea, which is just around that, Samaria, which is their region just beyond that, and then to the ends of the earth, which some would say literally is the ends of the earth or potentially just Rome. So he says, hey, I need you to stay there until the Holy Spirit comes, but then here are your marching orders. Here's your mission. Here's your task. I need you to go from Jerusalem. I need you to spread the word about the kingdom. Then I need you to go to Judea and to spread the word about the kingdom. And then I need you to go to Samaria and spread the word about the kingdom. And then I need you to go to the ends of the earth. Look what they do right after that. Verse 9. And when he had said these things, that is Jesus, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. Try that on for size, Steven Spielberg, right? Great movie. Great movie. Great moment, right? Look at verse 10. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into heaven? Great question. And I remember that feeling of, we've trained, we've prayed, we've worshiped, we've grown closer together. I have this friend now that we're about to encounter this mission together. And I remember we all got out of the car and we were just standing there like, oh, why did we come down here? I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. And very similar fashion, the apostles stand here and just are in awe of what's going on. So here's what I want to do tonight for just a few minutes. Have you ever had an idea that maybe was in the process of working, and the more you talked about it in front of people, the more it made sense? And maybe even the more that they could look at you and go, or maybe the more that they could look at you and go, that helped you develop the idea? Okay, good. Well, that's what you're about to experience. I have an idea. And so what I want to do is throw the idea at you and then go through the whole book of Acts quickly and see how it plays out. Is that okay? Sounds like a plan, right? Here we go. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, 1, Judea, 2, Samaria, 3, the ends of the earth, 4. Now, what we've tried to do as a campus ministry is say, okay, what if we applied those things to our ministry? What if we said, what's our Jerusalem? What's the place for us that's where our community of believers come together and go, this is our Jerusalem? Well, the way that we've tried to define that is really our house. We have a house on campus that has a heartbeat. It beats hopefully for Jesus. That what we've said is our community is our house. So what are the ways that we take the kingdom of God to our house? So those are the kinds of questions we've began to ask about our Jerusalem. We think that that's our community, our house, that kind of region right around our house on campus. Well, he says you go from Jerusalem to Judea, which is geographically just outside of that. Well, we really think our Judea, our second place, is campus. That makes the most sense because that's literally what is the next place. Campus Woods Hall is right across the street where the internationals are. So why are the internationals not one of our number one things? They're our closest neighbor. I can throw a rock and hit them. I wouldn't do that. But I can throw a rock and hit them, right? That's our closest neighbor. So why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we not beat up the people next door when they party and just let them know that we love them and that we're going to be here for them? And so what we're trying to do is, how are the ways we directly engage our Judea, which is the campus right around us, Jerusalem, which is our community, Judea, which is the campus, Samaria, which is kind of the next biggest region, we think it makes sense to be the city of Murray. That the city, which includes this church, is kind of our next step. So how do we then begin to share the next steps with our city? Our mission trip this past weekend was kind of one of the ways we tried to step into that. We got to help out at a man's house. We got to help at Needline. Needline is fantastic, by the way, if y'all didn't know. Oh my. Wow. And then we got to help out at Playhouse in the Park. Playhouse in the Park's great. Here's my version of Playhouse in the Park. Before God was a father or a judge, before he presents himself as any of those things, he presents himself as a what? A creator. He creates beauty. He creates splendor. Art is one of the best ways that we can get people to see God's beauty. And so if we can further art in this community, we need to be doing it. So that's why we went to Playhouse in the Park. So that's kind of the city version. That's our Samaria. Well, then you get this weird ends of the earth phrase. It could be Rome or could be literally the ends of the earth. So some of the ways that we're trying to think about that is we're going back to Honduras again, hopefully next summer. But one of the ways that it makes the most sense for me right now, we have internationals in our ministry. So isn't potentially the best thing we can do to teach them how to be followers of Christ in Christ Church when they go home? Doesn't that make a lot of sense? So instead of spending $30,000 to go to Honduras, I can spend 4 or 5 meals around a table, which might cost 20, 30 bucks, and I can walk them through the Gospel of Luke. I can walk them through just basic kind of fundamental theology and then walk them through what it means to really be a follower in a local church and then send them back to their home, back to the ends of the earth. Now, let's look how this plays out in the book of Acts. If you will, flip over to chapter 6. If you remember what's happened, we just kind of had some ruckus in Jerusalem, and now the workload on God's people, on God's church, has become too large. And so they've appointed people to help them out as a part of the church, that we can't take care of all the ministry needs. We need you to help us. And look what it says about this in verse 7 of chapter 6. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly, where? In Jerusalem. That we've just spent five chapters, really, of the word multiplying in Jerusalem. So the work they were doing of healing, the work they were doing of proclaiming the kingdom of God, the work they were doing in praying and watching God's Spirit do miraculous things, that work was spreading where? In Jerusalem. It was spreading in their home where he had told them to stay. And it's fantastic. Look, flip over just hopefully one page or not to chapter 8. Now in chapter 6, right before we were introduced to a man named Stephen. Chapter 7, we see Stephen's sermon. Great, great sermon. Go read chapter 7. And chapter 8, he's just been murdered. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul, who will be Paul, approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church. And where are they still? Jerusalem. They're still in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. We often think that persecution is a bad thing. I'm not really in the mood just to be persecuted. However, sometime in order for God's word to be taken where it needs to be gone, we're going to have to suffer a little bit. And so because of this persecution, they have to spread out. They got to scatter. And look what happens. Except the apostles, which is right after that phrase. And they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles who stayed in Jerusalem. Keep reading a little bit. Verse 2. Devout men buried Stephen and made a great lamentation over him. Verse 3. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now, what you guys know about the rest of the book of Acts, I'm going to talk and flip. If you want to keep your eyes on the Bible, that might be more helpful. Is that okay? So here we go. Look at chapter 9. Chapter 9, you get the conversion of Saul. So Saul becomes Paul. Chapter 10, you get Peter and Cornelius. And 11, chapter 11, Peter's reporting to the church. Then in 12, you get this kind of weird thing with Peter and the death of Herod. And then chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas get sent out for the first time. So this is, the church is moving. That we're going beyond Jerusalem, we're going beyond Samaria. Chapter 14, they continue their journey. Chapter 15, we have the first church meeting, at which things go really goofy, because they always do. That was a joke. Ha ha ha, that was a joke. Chapter 16, then, we get this kind of movement again. Timothy joins Paul now. And by the way, the fun thing happens in chapter 16, too, if I can point it out just for the fun of it. Look at verse 6. Chapter 16. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had came to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. Whew. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately Wait a second. Pronouns just changed. Didn't they? He said, they were going, we're going. Who joined them? Luke did. This is potentially when Luke joins the party. So Luke's been writing now kind of post things. He hasn't been here. He's been hearing these stories. And then all of a sudden now Luke joins the party. I think that's fantastic. Look at chapter 17. The word continues to spread to Thessalonica. Verse 16, you get this kind of whole thing in Athens that happens with Paul speaking in Athens. 18, Corinth. 19, Ephesus. 20, Macedonia and Greece. Flip all the way over to chapter 28. Does anybody have a heading over verse 11 in chapter 28? Paul arrives where? Rome. We're there, right? We're there. What has happened here? And flip over just to the end of chapter 28. Actually, chapter 28, verse 28. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense. This is Paul. And welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. What happened? Jesus says, I need you to stay here in Jerusalem in chapter 1 until the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit comes in chapter 2. And then what do? They do exactly what he said. I need you to go from Jerusalem to Judea. Cool. Well, how'd they get to Judea? Through persecution. That's odd. But isn't that how it happens sometimes? Something bad happens and the church shows up, says, hey, let me help you here. And then after 2 or 3 months, they say, hey, maybe we need to stay here. Maybe the church needs to stay here. I talked to a guy yesterday through Twitter. That's a thing on the internet. Don't worry about it. I talked to a guy through Twitter. Lipscomb is still sending groups to Panama City Beach. I went in 2006. It's 2013. They're still sending groups. Why? Because they believe that it's our mission to keep going. And for those who need to stay in Jerusalem, stay in Jerusalem. For those who can make it to Judea, to those places right outside, go. Those who can make it to Samaria need to go. Those who can make it to the ends of the earth need to keep going. God's kingdom, his work, his word, his message, the things that God's asked us to do need to keep going. Right? That's kind of the idea here. And so for us as a ministry, for us, what we're trying to ask questions right now of how do we do this weekly? How do we do this monthly? How do we do this yearly? How do we partner in what Jesus asked them to do? Not as a pattern like Charlie mentioned this morning. We don't think this is pattern theology, that we have to have this Judea. We have to have this Samaria. We have to have this. But isn't that how it all works? It always works from the inside out. Even this kind of Jesus thing, isn't this a heart thing that works out of you, that Luke says out of the out of your heart, your mouth speaks. Isn't that where it comes from? That our whole kind of Christian thing is from the inside out. So why can't it be that way physically too? That's what we're doing on Wednesday. Wednesday Without Walls. The idea is to meet here together as a church and go, where can we go? In our city. Where can we go? In our Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria. Where can we go so that God's kingdoms continue to be spread through his church? So what about for you? How does this look individually? Man, I don't know. How does it look individually? Heather and I live in an apartment complex. And so for us individually, we have a Jerusalem that's a couple that live here and a guy or a girl, I don't really know who lives there. And right, we have a Jerusalem that's very close to us. And then we have this Judea, we have this Samaria. So what about for you? What does that look like for you daily to kind of know the mission that God's given you? And I can guarantee a couple things. Number one, it'll be easier if you take somebody. The guy that went to Panama City Beach with me, I didn't know him the first day I met him. I'd seen him around. He played music. I thought he was weird. He wore deep V-necks. You guys seen the deep Vs? Those are scary, aren't they? Yeah. He wore deep V. I didn't really know what that was. After we got back from the mission trip, guess who slept in my floor for the next 3 months? He did. You couldn't touch us. We had been through something that you couldn't touch. So I can guarantee it'll be easier if you do it together. I can also guarantee it'll be easier if you pray and allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does. God hasn't given us the Holy Spirit as like this toy to be put on a shelf and just kind of talked about at random times. Francis Chan wrote a book called Forgotten God because we often don't talk about what the Holy Spirit does. But you see that all throughout the book of Acts, that if this thing's going to spread, you got to do it with somebody and you got to do it with the Holy Spirit and with this prayer thing that he's been given to let us walk with him. I hope that you will join our ministry as we maybe ask you to help us to walk this journey. And I hope that you too see how this movement works, that we're not people meant to live in little cardboard houses, even though that was fun last weekend, to live in cardboard houses all by ourselves and never talk to anyone or join anyone or participate in God's story that he's writing here. I hope that you know that we're to be participants in this. We're to walk in this. And sometimes it's going to be messy and dirty and weird, and it doesn't matter how messy, dirty, or weird it gets. Amen? So may we be the type of people that walk from our Jerusalem to our Judea, to our Samaria, to our ends of the earth, proclaiming the kingdom of God, walking as the church, doing it together by the power of the Holy Spirit.